You know, we're trying new things. So
And
you're my
going.
first guest on the new set.
Okay, word, am I?
Yes.
Love that. Happy New Year. New Year, new guests, new set.
New year, new guest, new
Yeah.
set.
What's up? It's Ollie Sholaton. You might know me as Carlton from Peacock's Bel-Air or on my latest off-Broadway show, Buena Vista Social Club. What's up, Nyla? We need to talk.
Spend off from the nanos. We need to talk, love. Can I talk to you? We need to talk, love. Can I talk to you? We need to talk, love. Can I talk to you? We need to talk, love. Can I?
What's going on, guys? Nyla Simone here with another episode of We Need to Talk. And today I have a very special guest in the building. We got Ollie Sholaton here. How are you?
What's up? I'm great. How are you doing?
Nah, you're just too cool for me right now, and I don't like it. You're too cool for me.
That's crazy. Here's the thing. It's crazy that you say that, because one of the first things I remember when I met you, I remember thinking, I was like, why is she so cool? Like, what? How dare she walk around, like, be so, like, you're just steezy. I don't know what it is. You're just like, you ooze cool.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing it though today. It's cooler than me, and I don't like it.
I'll take it.
In the name of Skilla Baby, as he would say.
You're even cooler than me.
Oh.
I don't like that.
But how have you been?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm in New York.
Yes.
I've been out here for the last few months. I'm working on an off-Broadway musical down in Chelsea right now. It's winter. So I'm struggling a little bit.
Yeah, this
I'm
not is
gonna,
new for you, right?
Ooh, I'm not gonna lie to you. I was raised in Nigeria, and then I moved to Houston, and then I moved to LA. None of those places are cold.
None of those places are the same vibe-wise either.
At all,
yeah.
Either. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but like none of those places are cold, and here I am, and it's like, it's expected to snow this weekend.
I know.
And I'm really not looking forward to it.
Is this gonna be your first time seeing snow?
I've seen snow before, but like where it makes sense, in the mountains. Like, I've been hiking,
okay.
And I'm like, snow belongs here.
Yes.
Snow doesn't belong on 43rd Street. I think that's insane.
Yeah,
like,
I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean I have to put on two pants? That's...
You got your thermals now, though, right?
I bought a puffer jacket for the first time. I finally bought a puffer.
Do you have the thermals?
Hmm?
You got to get thermals. We'll work on
I'm going to go get
but
thermals
you got
right
the puffer.
After this.
That's
yeah.
a great start.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so, like, other than that, though, I'm great. Like, I'm really good. I feel like I'm really, like... In my artist bag, you know what I mean?
You're loving New York.
I'm loving New York. I didn't think I'd love it as much, but like I'm loving, Brooklyn's my favorite part.
Ooh,
yeah.
Brooklyn.
Am I about to start a war?
Low-key, you might, but it's okay. I love Brooklyn too.
Yeah.
I think where it's at as far as like social life, Brooklyn has it right now.
What's your favorite part of New York?
Right now, Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah. But if it's like to live, it would be Queens.
Really?
I love Queens.
I haven't been out to Queens yet.
Queens is like half suburban but still city. Like I could drive and go to a drive-thru and get food, but I could still take a train.
Oh, like you have a car here?
I had a car here. I had to get rid of it. I ended up owing like $6,000 in tickets, and then they suspended my license.
$6,000 in tickets?
It's a whole
Wait, what
long
are you
story.
Doing?
Alternate side parking. So in New York, they have this thing called alternate side parking where, like, on Mondays and Wednesdays, you can't park on the left side of the street.
Okay.
And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can't park on the right side of the street.
Word.
So if you left your car on the left side of the street, that's a $50 ticket. And if you don't pay that $50 ticket within the two-week span, it doubles and then doubles and then doubles and then doubles and doubles and doubles and now I end up owing $6,000.
You know what? Actually, I'm glad you told me that because until you told me that, I was like, I'm never getting a car with you. Because I'm like, do you get these tickets for speeding? I'm never
no.
in the car, but I get it. It's parking. That happens.
It's parking. I mean, I had a few speeding ones too, but neither here nor there.
I'm
okay,
never
so.
Get in a car with you. Ever.
I think you'll trust me. It's okay. We're fine. I'm here. My driving record is pretty clean outside of that. The last time I got in an accident was like high school, and it was 3 days after I got my license, and I haven't been in one since.
Okay, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it for now.
That was a long time ago.
I'll take it for now.
For now?
I trust you a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Baby
steps. Let me silence my phone because it keeps buzzing. It keeps like bothering me. And I want to give you my full attention.
Okay. All good.
Because you're important to me. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So tell me about this play. Wait. So out of all the countries you've been in, because you said Nigeria, Houston, and then LA, what
yeah.
were the ages per each country?
So
city?
I was born in Atlanta. I know. I was born in Atlanta at like 6 months old, moved to Nigeria.
Okay.
Lived there till I was 10. Then moved to Texas, Houston. Went to the same high school as Beyonce, by the way.
Ooh, it's no pressure.
Hey, you know, it's a performing arts high school, you know. And that's the thing. The thing about, it's called Kinder HSPVA. And, you know, the thing is, like, you're only allowed in if you're as good as Beyonce.
Stop.
Yo. And so, you know, when you do the audition, they're like, do you have the Beyonce factor? And if you do, they let you in. And, you know, if they don't, they don't.
Shut up.
So, you know, I went there for for high school, and then I moved out to L.A. at 17 for college.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
And so I've been there since.
What school did you go to?
UCLA.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a Bruin.
Mixy.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It's been so mixy, and I think that also has been a huge gift as an artist, right? Because, like, I don't know, in my music and my acting, I'm always taking inspiration from so many places because, like, I've been exposed to so many different things. Like, I know so many people that are just like, I hate country music. And I'm like, I think that's crazy. Sure, like, country music isn't my go-to genre, but living in Texas, I got exposed to so many different
sounds
and different types of country music. I'm like, no, I get it. Like, I see, you know. So, yeah.
Okay, what is your go-to genre, would you say?
Right now, I mean, Afrobeat.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's having this moment, and it's like, those are the sounds I grew up on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we were even just talking about before this interview started. It's like, these are words that I've sang my whole life, and I've known what they mean. And, you know, to, like, go to the club and hear people like, I need Igbo and Shayo. And I'm like, y'all don't know what that means, but, like, I grew up.
I have no idea what Igbo and Shayo is.
Igbo is weed and Shayo is alcohol.
Ah.
So I need weed and alcohol.
Ah. Right? Yeah. Okay.
And so I just think it's cool. Like, there's something so special about hearing words and ideas that, I don't know, I grew up on as a kid. So, like, that's, and I love that Afrobeat is breaking the,
it's like mainstream.
Yeah,
now.
The limits of even what, like, traditional Afrobeat sounds like.
Yeah.
And so now we're adding hip-hop, pop, R&B. It's cool.
No, it's fire. Yeah. I'm loving it, too. Yeah. It's new for me to not know what I'm singing as I'm singing
sure.
it. You know, like,
sure.
I'm sure it's been reversed for many years. Like, everybody's been not understanding our music.
Yeah.
So now it's weird having to, like, take a seat. Yeah.
But also, we've also talked about this. I'm a pop nigga. Like, I love pop music,
yo.
I know. Oh, my God. There's this musical out here. It's called Anne Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is, it's all music written by Max Martin, who I think is the greatest pop songwriter, producer of our generation. Incredible musical. I went. I was foaming at the mouth. By the second act, I was barking. Had a great time. Like, I do want it that way.
Oh, my God. You do make me want to actually go, though.
Oh, you should go. It's great. Yeah. I would go again. You want to go?
Let me know.
All right, word. Let's go.
So, talk to me about your play, because when I, you said you came out here for the play.
Yeah.
What is your role?
So, the show is called the Buena Vista Social Club.
Okay.
And that probably sounds familiar, because back in, I want to say it was 90, I don't remember exactly when in the 90s, but it was back in the 90s. The Buena Vista Social Club was this incredible, huge Afro-Cuban album that it was released, and I'm fairly sure it won a Grammy. I play Ibrahim Ferrer, who is one of the members of the Buena Vista Social Club, and it's sort of this musical about how a lot of that music came to be, and it's a musical celebrating that music, and it's just, it's been a really cool experience because all the music's in Spanish. And before this, I did not speak Spanish. And so it's been a huge learning experience.
So learned Spanish for this role?
Yeah. I learned Spanish for the... And don't get me wrong, I'm not, like, fluent. I understand it pretty well. I speak it fine.
Let me hear something.
I can sing a little bit. Dos gardenias para ti, con ella quiero decir, te quiero.
Wait. So you can sing Spanish, but you're not that great at speaking Spanish. So when you travel, you're going to be like, agua.
Well, it's like, you know, and I don't know, but I think that's kind of what I think is so beautiful about the musical, right? Mm-hmm. It's like music extends beyond culture and language. Like, we were just talking about how you're saying words that you don't know what they mean.
Right.
And, like, obviously I know what all these songs mean because, like, I sing them every night. So, like, I, you know, translated them. But yeah, it's been this beautiful cultural exchange. But then also what's really, really cool about the music that Ibrahim sings specifically is it's not in Spanish. It's sort of in this Cuban African Creole. Mm. Because, you know, because of the diaspora, a lot of Afro-Cuban music, Afro-Cuban, it's inspired by sounds from Africa. Like, when you see the show, most of the instruments, because we have the band on stage, and most of the instruments on the stage are African instruments, right? And so there are words that I sing that are even Yoruban, that they have, like, roots in the Yoruba language. Wow. And Yoruba tribe. So it's also just been really interesting. It's been healing in a weird way.
It's all original music? None of it has been altered?
Or original in the sense of, like, this is all the music from the Buena Vista Social Club album. And, like, we've changed arrangements here and there, but, yeah, it's all in its, you know, original Buena Vista Social Club, you know, glory.
That's crazy. So how long did it take you to, I guess, get your script down, and since you're doing it in another language?
That did mean that everything took a lot longer. Learning the songs was a lot harder because I wasn't just, you know, it's like when you hear a song and you know what you're saying, you just kind of...
It's easy because it's your language.
I remember I would have rehearsal all day from like 10 to 6, and then from 7 to maybe 11 p.m., I'd sit just listening to it over and over again and singing it. And what I would do is I would sing it into the mirror because I'm also a dancer. And so
we didn't even get through all your hats yet. We didn't even touch the surface.
And so it's just like, I'm a very physical person. And so I was just like, if I can memorize how my mouth moves, right? Like the shapes that my mouth is making, I'll be able to memorize the words easier. Because also that's the thing, consonants in Spanish and English don't sound the same
at all.
Right? Like, dos gardenias para ti. I said para ti, not para ti. You know, like in English, I'd say para ti, but in Spanish, it's para ti. Mm. And so once I would memorize how it felt in my mouth. Pause.
No, that pause. Makes sense.
Once I would memorize how my mouth moved.
Yo, you know what? Now that you broke it down, though, that makes sense.
It made it easier.
Yes. Oh, easier. Whoa.
Easier is it made it doable. Whoa. It made it doable. Yeah. What are you doing to me? what are you doing to me?
Hey, you said it to yourself.
You made a trap, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing to me? Like, come on.
All right.
I'm trying to be respected when I walk out of here.
No, you are much respected. You are a freak talent.
Thank you.
A freak talent. And I don't even know why you didn't answer the question by saying it took 2 weeks. Because I remember when you got the role, and then I remember 2 weeks later when you were singing in Spanish already.
Yeah. So like, it was
quick.
It was like 2 weeks.
It was quick. That's ridiculous. Who does that? Freak talent. Freak talent does that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm committed. Hey, what can I say?
Nothing but respect. Utmost respect, actually.
Thank you.
I feel like of artistry, Broadway is like the top of the top.
They are crazy.
Yeah.
And like, you know, because a lot of the artists I'm working with, like, they have done so much more theater than me, and I'm learning from them every day. Because, I mostly do film and TV.
Is this your first time doing theater?
No. Like, I went to school for musical theater.
Okay.
So, but this is my first New York professional production, yeah. And so, like, I'm just constantly learning from everyone, because they're incredible, and they're just, they are talented.
That's good. What really are some, good. Like, techniques, I guess, you've learned from your castmates?
Warming up and warming down. Like, it's because I have a show tonight.
Voice-wise?
Yeah, like voice-wise. Vocally, even body-wise, but specifically vocally, I have a show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I have to use my voice in a smart and safe way throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's time to sing, I gotta warm up. And then when I'm done, I gotta warm down, or like my voice is still, you know, my vocal cords are still tight. Everything from that to just vocal care. I got mad sick last week, a week before, and I did the show. And it's like, when you're not sick, of course you can sing, but now you're sick. So like, you need to rely on the technique. You feel it. It's harder. Each note is a lot harder. The high notes,
even
you know
worse.
What you gonna do.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to then rely on technique. Mm-hmm. And you know, yeah, it's been cool. Like, it's been a really, really incredible learning experience, and I've grown a lot.
Do you see yourself doing more Broadway, more theater?
Oh, I want an EGOT. You know, so like, why not? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Looks like you're well on your way to that. Oh,
thanks.
Let's talk about Bel Air.
Yeah.
Of course. I was gonna ask this. It's just a joke, but how similar are you to Carlton in real life?
You know what's funny? In real life?
Yeah.
Not at all. Like, I always say Carlton's like my little brother.
You're a little brother.
Yeah, like, he's like my little, it's like, or maybe little cousin. You know that little cousin that, like, you see at, like, Thanksgiving, and, like, every family get together, they have some crazy story for you, and you're like, I love you so much.
And I want better for you.
I want better for you.
Yeah.
I wish more for you, my sweet child.
Yeah.
That's kind of how Carlton is for me. It's like, you know, he's going through it. He's a special case, but also, I think he speaks to so many young Black kids' experiences, right? I remember after the first season had aired, you know, it was just crazy going out, like, in L.A., because whenever as a cast we would go anywhere, it was just like, oh, my God, Bel Air this, and it was really overwhelming, and like, I don't know, I would always find it overwhelming and always just like, ah, and there was this one experience that really humbled me, because I was like, I've always known that what we do is important, but I remember it was this family, they had all said hi to me, and in that group, there was just like this one little boy, like, it was a Black family, this one little boy, and he was kind of shy, and he was in the back, and I could tell that he wanted a picture, because he was with everyone. I was like, yo, like, what's up, little dude, like, how's it going? And he's just like, you're the first Black boy I've ever seen cry on TV. And, like, you know, like, that's how much this stuff matters.
Yeah.
Showing young Black boys that you're allowed to express the full range of your emotions, right? You are allowed to be vulnerable, and you're allowed to need help.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the scene that actually made me cry, is when you and Uncle Phil are crying, because it was like, because even Uncle Phil cried too. It was like, oh, you don't, to
you
his
don't
point,
that.
You don't see that.
You don't see that.
Wow, I didn't realize that's why it made me cry, but I think that is why.
You know, and it's a beautiful thing to see. So, like, I am nothing like Carlton in real life. I'd say our similarities is we both love clothes. Mm. I think he's a little more preppy than I am, but, like, we both love clothes. We both do also kind of think that we are God's gift to this earth. You know what I'm saying? Like,
can't help it.
But other than that, other than that, we're not very similar to you.
That is hilarious. Man.
Really not.
I think what...
Do you think I'm similar to him? Right? You don't, right?
No, I don't think you're similar to him.
All right, cool,
But I think it's funny now watching the show and then knowing you. I'm like, this... You do a damn good job.
Thank you. No, it's so funny, too, because I could tell whenever people meet me, they're like, you play Carlton. I'm like, hey, relax. It's fine.
You got that stuff.
No. Hey, keep that stuff out your nose. It's like, I don't even...
You know, it's a TV show.
You know, I have death threats.
No.
For the first like 6 months of the show airing, my DMs were crazy.
Death threats about what?
Of like, if I see you in the street, like, it's on a site for real. Like, you're because you know, because, and I get it, right? It speaks to how important
it's a character.
Yeah, and so it was death threats for, how dare you change this character that we love so much?
Oh.
So that, but then also, why are you so mean to Will? Like, why are you so, which is crazy to me, because I know that in order for you to find my DMs, you had to type in actor that plays Carlton, so you know that it's not real.
True.
Which is crazy to me. But yeah, like, to the point where I remember our producer at the time, he would like call me every week and just like, hey, Ollie, how you doing? Da da da. And I was like, this is so nice. And I remember I checked in with my other castmates. I was like, yo, like, you get phone calls every week, right? And they're like, no. And then the next call is like, yo, like, what's... I appreciate these phone calls, but, like, what's up? He was like, I just want to make sure that you're doing well. You know, because...
It's a lot.
You know, and he just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going into a depression, which I really appreciate.
That's love.
Yeah, that's love.
That's love. Because, yeah, death threats over a character role is crazy, but...
I take it as a compliment.
Yeah, that means you're doing your job well. Because I'm still mad at the guy from Why Did I Get... No, not Why Did I Get Married. Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
The bald dude. I can't remember his name right now.
What's his
name?
Ah, damn.
And when she threw him in the wheelchair in the water.
Okay, you have to cut this out because we would lose so much street cred if we admitted to not knowing who this is.
Yeah, but that scene, I can't stand his ass still. He plays other roles. I'm like, ugh. So, yeah, good for you.
People say, even my mom, like my mom... After, like, some of those seasons... Because season one, Carlton was unhinged.
Yeah, he was.
And after some of those scenes, my mom would call me and she'd be like, I know you're my son. And I know I love you.
But who is that?
Who is that? Why are you letting them represent you like that?
Do you feel like this is another side, another notch that you just never got to live? And this is you living it
That's an interesting perspective. Huh.
It might... Because, honestly, another reason why I think the role is important is just because... I don't think we realize that we do have, like, black elites now. Like, it wasn't a thing before, like, but 20 years later, we're getting more of that.
And it's like, and what does that look like, right? Like, how do black elites see themselves in this world as black people?
And their kids.
And their kids, right? It's like, what do their kids go through growing up?
Yeah.
In, because, you know, it sounds so dumb to say it, but it's like, you are a black kid in a white community, so your understanding of your blackness is so different than anyone else in America, really.
But you didn't have that experience because you was in Houston.
Houston.
Black as hell.
Yeah, black as hell. Nigeria, black as hell.
But all the cultures are very, very different, from music to food. Do you have a preference on, like, what has been your favorite so far?
You know... And I would make fun of New Yorkers with this all the time. A bacon, egg, and cheese is premium. I love a bacon, egg, and cheese. I ain't gonna hold you. I maybe have had it every single morning.
No!
Since I've been, not every, but like most mornings.
Are you serious?
Hey, yo, boss, can I get a bacon, egg, and cheese?
Not the boss.
Hey,
yo, not the boss.
Hey, boss,
deadass. Hey, stay out of Brooklyn, okay? stay out of Brooklyn.
Yo, no, but like deadass on my father, like, can I get a bacon, egg, and cheese real quick?
Oh, my Lord.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, my God, I love bacon,
Ollie,
and cheese.
It's 2024 and you gotta eat better. Okay?
No, okay, but if you're
saying,
gotta
eat better.
What cuisine do I like bet it, like, over a lifetime? Right? Are you saying lifetime or like right now?
No, I'm just concerned because you said you've been eating bacon, egg, and cheeses all the time.
They're good. What am I supposed to do? Not eat them? They're good.
No. You know what? I probably went through a phase of eating it often as well, but.
Oh, you mean to tell me you don't like bacon, egg, and cheeses anymore?
Not anymore. I'm sorry. I don't. But I've been here 10 years. You've been here like 3 months.
It's literally, I think it was 5 months, yeah.
Five months?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You got a little more. Tenure.
The other day, what was it? The other day I was on the sidewalk and like some guy was on his bike and he like rode past me and like I was on the phone with someone and I was like, yeah, I'm about to dog walk this motherfucker right now. Who is that? That's not me. I wasn't actually going to do anything, mind you.
No, why is she over here proud? She's proud and she's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, like all bark, no bite. But in my brain, I was like, he almost hit me. I'm about to dog walk this. So, you know, New York, baby.
Yo, when you go back to L.A., you have to, like, do a detox.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, I dress different now. Like, yo, deadass. Yo, I like New York.
No, you can keep the dress.
Okay, okay, fine.
Because you eating that.
That's what it is. That, like, I can layer more here.
Yeah.
It's cold, so it's like I could, you know.
Yeah, but it'd be cold in L.A., low-key.
Nippy.
Yeah, nippy. I don't like being cold, so any little sign of it. It's a problem for me.
Africa. Like, any sign, I am not happy.
He said, hell, me either.
The equator. You know what I mean? Like.
So we talked about your acting, your theater work. We haven't even mentioned the DJ time you've been putting in. But let's definitely get into your artistry as an artist.
Word.
I know you're working on a project right now. Are you still working on a project?
I am.
Can I say the name or is it not supposed to be released?
You know, let's not say the name yet. Okay. Let's not say the name yet. But, like, I will promise you, when I do announce the name, it'll be on your show.
Okay.
Great.
Yes. Word. Okay.
Because it's a cool name.
It's a great
name. It's a dope name. But I'm working on a song. I will be putting out a song in the early part of this year. It's called Wish. I think you've heard, I think I played it for you. It was one of the songs I played for you.
First or second one?
I think it was the first one.
Okay.
I think it was the first one that I played. And yeah, like, I kind of, like, music was one of my first loves. Like, I remember every Sunday after church, I would come home and go to my parents' room, and I'd watch every Michael Jackson music video, like, ever. That I've seen every single one. Like, I loved music. And then I was just kind of like, you know what? I don't know, something about where I was at the time, I guess I just wasn't really ready to do it. And so, like, I fell into acting because I watched High School Musical. And I was like, yo, this acting thing is kind of cool. So, I, you know, fell into acting, and that was the thing that I did for a while. And then while I was at UCLA, I had taken this music industry course. And they were talking about how, you know, the time of needing a label is kind of, it's not really a thing anymore, right?
Not
so, like, artists can come from anywhere. And I was like, you know, I want to do this for real. So I started writing. And then they're like, okay, well, if you want to, then you need a producer. And I'm impatient. So I don't really like waiting. So I was like, rather than, like, finding a producer and then it doesn't work and then da-da-da-da. And then I was like, fine, I'll just learn how to produce myself. And so then I was like, fine, I'll just learn how to mix. And so long story short, here I am. And I produce, write, and sing, and, you know, and it's just kind of like, yeah, I don't like waiting for people's permission to do my art. So it's like,
that's a bar.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm gonna do it. Like, if, and so here we are, you know, I feel like I've spent the last year really just kind of honing in on what my sound is.
What is it? What did you sum it up? Where are you at right now with it?
Where I'm at is, because, you know, at heart, I'm a pop nigga.
Yeah.
And I love R&B. And I so, like...
But it sounds, like, worldly.
Yeah, it sounds... So, like, I think what we settled on that day was, like, if The Weeknd did Afrobeat.
Oh.
Was kind of where we landed.
I like that.
That day. The context of this is... We were over at...
I was there.
You were there.
I like acting like I wasn't there,
right?
So I can pull the question as if I don't know.
But basically, we were over at Angie Martinez's place. And first of all, I'm a mean DJ. Like, I'm really good.
Oh, God.
I'm not actually that good.
We'll get to that.
You know, I was just, like, playing my music, and it was great. Like, you gave me a lot of feedback. Just, like, a lot of questions I really hadn't thought about as far as, like, who's this for? Like, what am I trying to say with my music? And that has been kind of my biggest journey. Because, you know, I think as an artist, you can say anything.
Yeah.
Right? But it's about, what do you choose to say? What parts of yourself do you choose to show to the world? And I think I've settled on it. So, you know, I'm excited to share it with everyone.
Coming soon. Q1 of this year?
Oh, Q1. Definitely Q1.
I mean, you have a lot going on. Plays. Yeah.
We're going back. We're, the reason why I'm going back to LA is because we start shooting Bel Air in... Am I allowed to say the date? I'm sure I am. We start shooting Bel Air in February.
Soon, right.
February.
Okay. Wait, so you have a 1 week break of relaxing and you plan on dropping music somewhere in between?
Well, what's crazy is I don't really have a 1 week break of relaxing because I have pre-production. And actually, while I'm shooting this, I'm going to be going to LA for, like, fittings and stuff.
Oh, all right. I have to commend you. You are one of the hardest working people
you.
I know.
No, thank you. I
commend you.
I have this joke to all my friends. I'm like, look, I just want to find me a rich woman, settle down, and, like, have her, like, you know, like,
you want
and
a sugar,
like,
mama?
You're a liar. And they tell me all the time, they're like, you're a dirty liar. If I was paid $1 million to sit at home, I would find a job.
You would drive yourself crazy.
I would be insane. Like, yeah, I love doing shit.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then in that week that I'm going to be back, you know, we have readings, we have pre-production, we have to get ready for the show, and then we start shooting. I don't know, I think I'm my best self when I'm creating.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, with the music, like, I've shot the visuals for it. Like, I shot them while I was out here.
What?
Yeah. Like, I shot them while I was out here.
Well, I'm excited. So this is New York Ollie.
I guess it's New York Ollie. And honestly, after this, I'll show you the music video. They don't get to see it, but I'll show it to you.
Please, yes.
Yeah, I shot the visuals while I was out here. I finished the song before I got out here. I've been writing a lot of stuff while being in New York, because that's also the thing. Location inspires what you make, too.
Yeah.
And so even just being out in New York and, you know, the parties that I've gone to and just the places that I've been, I'm writing different music here, too. So I don't know. It's been cool. I feel like I've grown so much. It's cool.
I love that. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I do think you should lock in with a producer, though.
Word.
You just got to find the right.
We just have to find the right one.
The right one.
Yeah. I have somebody. Be my manager? Do you manage?
No, I don't. But no, you don't? I'd just be your friend and tell you if I like it or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. One thing about, she don't lie. Like, and I love it. Like, I love, she does not lie. Like, I think I played y'all 3, 4, 5 songs.
Yeah.
And literally, you're like, that one's good. That one's good. I could do without this one. It's not whack, but I could do without it. And I was like, great. Thank you.
Honestly, after that day, I was like, man, it's crazy how talented you are. Because it's like, because you have such a good voice, like, there is no wrong answer. Thank you. That's why I was just like, it's really about, like, how you want to format it. What do you what are you trying to represent? But, yeah, no. It's ridiculous how talented you are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I'm a little jealous, you know.
Oh, shit. Look, come on. What are we what are we talking about? Come on.
All right, so new music on the way, new TV shows on the way. Oh, before I get into this game that we always play on the show.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh,
it's called Questions That Need Answers. You have to fill in the blank. Okay. But, and before we get into that, I wanted to ask, is there a dream role that you want to do?
I have a hard time with this question because part of my evolution, just like as an artist and as a creative, is not being too prescriptive with my life. Because I think, you know, we love to make plans. Like, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. And then you look back and it's like, none of the things that I planned happened, but it ended up better. Because, like, little secret, when I was auditioning for Bel Air, I was also really close to another project. And I wanted that project way more.
Really?
Way more. Because I was like, I don't want to, like, I'm not Alfonso. I'm not going to do what Alfonso does. Like, I don't know, like a Fresh Prince reboot. I can.
Can you?
Oh, absolutely. I can.
I might have to see that.
Here's the thing.
I might have to see that.
No one's seen it yet. No one's seen it yet.
Wait, have you met him and have y'all done it together? That would be.
I have not met Alfonso yet. I haven't met him yet. Yeah,
oh my gosh.
But like, I'm not gonna say much. I'm not gonna say anything.
But you got it.
I got it. Yeah, okay. I ain't gonna say nothing. but like, I wanted something else entirely. Like, I would have never in a million years dreamed that the role that would have changed my life is Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, right?
It's never what you expect.
It's never what you expect. And so I think I'm trying to stay more open to just like, I don't think I know what my dream role is. Right? I think the role that will change my life, the role that, oh my God, that I don't think I know what it is. I think it's something that it'll come and I will do the Ollie thing and give it my 150%. And only after will I be able to look back and be like, dang, that thing? So, yeah, I don't know.
Can I ask what your character personality was for the other project? Like, what type of hat are you under with that one?
He was a young king. Yeah. He was a young king.
Dang, I see why you wanted that one.
No, you know what I'm saying? I see why, the show was about hit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was like, oh, that's... Ah!
Yeah.
You know,
honestly, Fresh Prince is such a staple, like at least in Black American television, that or just television
in the world.
Period. Yeah,
like I have people come up to me and they say I learned English through Fresh Prince, like through the original Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
What?
Yeah, because it played in so many different countries. Like this. So yeah, you know, like
it's a staple.
It's a staple, and now looking back at it, it's like, I can't imagine this role being played by anyone else.
Yeah.
I don't, and you know, not to like talk my shit.
I love Milgram, dude.
Right? Like, no, but not to talk my shit, but it's like, I know how personal this version of Carlton is to me. And I know what I've, you know, the parts of myself that I have ripped open and put into this that I can't imagine anyone else doing that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, man proposes, God disposes. So, you know.
That was a bar. Yo, you dropped some gems in this interview, I gotta say. I like that. Great answer, though.
Thanks.
Great answer. Okay, to the game.
Wait, let's talk about me as a DJ. So. Let's
I
talk
thought
about
we were trying to be taken seriously.
No, but like seriously. Let's talk about it seriously. So what happened is...
So he came to DJ my set, ruined the set, and then people thought it was me, it wasn't me.
I did not ruin the set.
You didn't ruin the set?
What had happened
the blend
was,
wasn't blended. I mean, it was bad. It was all bad.
What had happened was, so I was over at Angie's like I'm a not week talking and about a half before. Like a week. Well, wait,
oh,
no,
oh, you're doing
like
backstory.
A week and a half. Backstory. Okay, I was okay, over okay. At Angie Martinez's place like a week and a half before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like she has a turntable there. So I was like DJing. I was doing the thing. I wasn't very good, but I was getting the hang of it. Mm-hmm. And kind of, you know... One thing about me, I'm a quick learner, and everyone was just like, here's the thing, don't get me wrong, you're not great, but like, you are way better than you should be, considering you've never done this before, and I was like, you're right.
You know what?
And so then we met.
Another person who's really honest is Angie.
Angie you want the truth? Will not lie to you.
Man.
That woman will not lie to you.
I mean, she's really straightforward.
Very straightforward.
So like, I know she's the one who said, not gonna lie to you. You're pretty terrible, but you're better than...
Than you should be.
Yeah.
And so I took that to heart because she doesn't lie.
Yes.
And then I saw... And then we met a week after and I was like, this is my destiny.
And then you came and ruined my DJ set and it's okay. It was towards the end, so I'm not too mad, but...
And then, did you tell them about the part where
you redeemed yourself,
where I redeemed myself, where like I was DJing separately for some other thing
that was,
you know,
pretty good.
Where Jabari and I were DJing for some other
that
thing
that was pretty good,
and I sent it to you and you're like, this is cool.
I couldn't even criticize that. I was impressed. You've been working.
I put the work in. What can I say?
So when are you gonna like have time for that in your schedule, because it just doesn't seem like yet.
Realistically, I think it's something that I will only do recreationally.
Okay.
I don't know if you look, you know, you never know, but
I'm,
I don't know if...
I'm going to throw
if,
you on a set.
Wait, are you being for real?
Yeah, I'm going to throw you on a set of an actual party.
Oh.
Let's see how you do.
Okay, but can we do it together?
Sure.
That's the deal. I'm so down, like, we could DJ together.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You pick the songs.
But you're going to have to open because I'm nervous. You're going to have to go first.
Oh, so
like,
people don't think
it's...
Like,
not middle of the party. You can't actually...
Sure, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, cool.
But if you like it, then you'll let me continue.
Yes.
Word.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's do that. We'll have to record that as well.
Oh, that's going to be good.
All right, so for questions that need answers, you just fill in the blank.
Okay.
All right. The older I get, the less I...
The less I lack patience.
The less I lack patience. Oh, yeah. So you're more patient.
I'm more patient now. Because I don't think impatience... I think impatience has served me in certain ways.
Hmm.
But I think also in a lot of ways, it's given me unrealistic expectations for how things work.
Understood.
Yeah.
I like that. I can't believe I actually blinked when I was younger.
How weird is this allowed to get?
It's been weird. It's definitely gotten weird.
There was one time. So... For, you know what's so funny? I've never told anyone else this story because it happened with just me. It was me and me alone.
Okay.
There was like a 2 to 3 year time period where I didn't wear jeans. Like I didn't wear denim.
I hate jeans, by the way. But...
Oh, that's crazy. I love jeans. Now, but the reason why I didn't was because there was one time as a kid I was feeling really lazy and I didn't wear underwear. And so.
Freeballing.
Yeah, just freeballing. So I go to the bathroom and, you know, I'm done. And I come back and I, you know, pull my pants up and I zip it up like a little too fast.
Ow. I feel for you.
And when I say it's the worst pain that ever. I've ever felt in my entire...
It's haunting you to this day?
Oh my God. In my entire life. When I was younger, I can't believe I actually zipped my nuts up. And now...
That sounds painful.
And so now I always wear... Boxers, because what are we talking about? But I have a fear of, you know, those like quarter zips that go up to your neck.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever anyone comes, you know, sometimes you're just like playing with people and you're just like, yeah.
You don't even.
It, like, when I have to put my two fingers in and then zip it up because
so
I'm.
Now you
so
have
terrified.
A phobia of zippers.
Now I have a phobia of zippers. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. I feel like you're not alone, though. You can't be.
I cannot be the only. But it was, I didn't even tell my parents because it was one of those things that, like, I was the only one that was there when it happened.
And they're also going to be looking at you like...
Like, who did we...
Why didn't you...
It begets so many questions.
Yeah. She's gonna question you now, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because listen, one thing about my mom, she watches every interview I've ever done.
What's up, Mom?
Oh my God. Yeah. Love you, Mom. I send her flowers every month.
Aww.
Like, they're just like on auto deliver. I send my mom flowers every month. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. A friend gave me that idea once.
Mom deserves it.
Mom deserves it.
And I'm sure she appreciates it. Okay, I'm a little embarrassed by the fact that I know so little about blank.
Classic black media. Oh. I was about to say movies, but music too. Like, okay. Classic black American movie. Like, I only just saw Friday. Last year, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so because I grew up in Nigeria,
yeah,
there's so much that like I missed out on that I'll be having conversations, and people would be like, oh, like, da 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 da, you saw,
and you don't know the reference, like, yeah,
you know, or they'll reference songs, or and I'm just like, I don't like literally the other day, Ange got on me because she was like, you've heard, yo, what album was it? Stevie Wonder.
Key of Life.
Key of Life. You've heard songs in Key of Life. And I was like, I know the big song. You know, I know the big, Isn't She Love? That's on songs in Key of Life. Yeah, like I know those, but I haven't heard the full
album.
So I find, you know, like I'm working my way through it, but there's so much that keeps being released.
You haven't.
Now too, so.
You've been doing the work. I've been seeing it.
I'm really embarrassed by that. Like, it's. My friends they be flaming me every single time.
That's funny. I was just talking about this yesterday, how, like, you know, now I'm into Afrobeats and I'm a piano, and I went to go see Asake.
Uh-huh.
I went to see him, and at the concert, they're like, the DJ's playing all these records, like, yeah, this is for my OG Afrobeats, and they're playing all these songs that I have no idea about.
Yeah, like they're playing P-Square, Old School Davido, Olamide, and it's like,
I felt...
A lot of people don't... Yeah.
I hate it. I hate not knowing. So I know how you feel.
And that's the thing. Like, I will always tell them... I'm like, do you know about how Yahuze took over...
I don't.
...all of Nigeria in, like, 2008?
No,
you
don't.
So, like, why are you getting on me for not knowing?
Yeah.
But I get it.
But you're here. You're here.
But I'm here.
If
now.
I was over there, they would have...
And that's the thing. What they always say is, like, Ollie, at this point, you've been here long enough. So I'm working on it.
Yeah, so, yes, you are. I'm going to have to send you some playlists.
Word. Yeah. Send me playlists. We can have movie nights. Like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, because there's actually a tweet going around on Twitter, and it has, like, all of the black movies.
Please.
And then per each movie, it's a point. So it's a point system. So it's, like, how black are you based on the point system.
Damn.
So. Should I pull this tweet up and...
I mean, pull it up. I know I'm going to get, like, four.
Four? I don't even want to do that to you. That's like, the case.
I don't think it... I remember there was this one day on set. Well, I think this was... We were filming either season one or season two. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one day on set where, like... Yeah, it was, like, Jordan. Jordan brought it up. It was like, oh, bro, you remember in... da-da-da-da? And I was like, I don't. He was like, no, you remember that movie. I was like, bro, I haven't seen this movie. And then Jabari comes in... And it just basically everyone, it's like me in the middle, and it's everyone in a circle just flaming me. Have you seen this? It's like, no, I haven't.
Damn
please.
I'm going to ask them to reset.
You know what? Okay, you know what you should do? You know that TikTok audio that's like, you need to leave. You need to like AI that. Because you know you're going to, we need to talk. Yeah, I think that's what you should do. You should think about that.
That would be good. All right, cool. Back to the game. Sometimes I look back at my life and blank.
Sometimes I look back at my life and I don't believe it.
Mm.
'Cause, I don't know, a lot of it feels surreal, right? Like, to be a professional entertainer has been the only dream I've ever had for as long as I can remember.
It's like, damn, I'm really doing this
shit.
No,
it's like, damn, I'm really doing it. Like, I started working on Bel Air when I was 21, 22. And that's so surreal to me. Like, I'm so young. I'm a baby.
Yeah.
So just, it feels surreal. I always say I have more gratitude to the universe than I can really ever express. Yeah, I just don't believe it. It feels surreal.
I love that. Let's see. I made a complete fool of myself when I blinked.
I made a complete fool of myself when I, tried stand-up one time.
You tried stand-up?
I tried stand-up. This was in high school. There was a comedy club. And I tried... Yeah, I tried stand-up. Because here's the thing. I'm a funny person. I think I'm funny, like, in conversation. But like, I just also didn't get. So what I did was I went up there and I just read funny tweets. I read other people's
tweets,
funny tweets,
and then joke on them.
No, I didn't add anything.
You just read
I didn't
tweet?
Add anything. I just stood there and I read these tweets, and the room reacted with a combination of like, that doesn't translate well into tech, or also it's like, I saw that tweet, and then I was like, oh, ahaha. And then at some point then I started reading song lyrics, because you know the Lil Wayne lyric, pussy so wet I'm gonna need goggles, you know. I was like,
doom dooch.
literally you think I'm just literally I was like,
no, I'm not laughing because the lyric is funny. laughing because you thought that the lyric was a joke. Because
imagine me at like, what, 15, I'm in this room, I'm like, pussy so wet, I'm going to need goggles.
I feel like I hear a cricket in the
room.
No,
like, it was, yo, that silence was so loud. I made an absolute fool of myself. I really did. It was really embarrassing.
That is hilarious, actually. That
I think I'd be better at stand-up now, but...
I think you're missing technique, 100%.
You know what? I think it's also important to know your limits. Know what works and know what doesn't work.
Yes. I mean, you're witty, though. So
thank you.
But, you know, stand-up, I think, takes a little more than that.
I'll stick to what I do best.
All right, cool.
Which is anything else.
All right, my personality trait is blank.
Relentless. I don't give up.
That is a great word.
Yeah, my personality trait is relentless. Because I don't really believe in star signs. Mm. I really don't. But my manager does. She's super big into star signs. And she's like, you're an Aries. Like, that's so Aries of you. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, sure I am, but like, I am not... Like, I'm not a stubborn person. I'm really not.
You're Aries?
I know.
That explains a lot.
That explains why you like me so much?
Yeah, actually, because I'm a Leo.
Oh.
That's
why we get along so well.
We're fire signs.
We're kin. That's my kinfolk, for real. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Wait, you just went from Brooklyn to fucking Atlanta just now. Kinfolk, for real?
That's another. I also love accents. because what I love the way people speak, because I think the way people speak tells so much about their stories.
Okay.
Right? And like, so I love the way people speak and I like absorb that.
How I speak, what does it tell about my story? How I speak?
Oh my God, it's such a loaded question. Okay.
Tell me about myself.
No, because you're not from LA. You're not from New York.
I'm not from
You
New
moved
York.
Here. Mm-hmm. Are you from like somewhere close to the South?
Kind of.
Because you have Southern tendencies.
Do I?
Yeah. You say like, I'm not from here.
I've never said that.
You literally did it right
You're
now.
You're literally adding an
like,
accent
I'm,
on.
Here's the thing. I'm over-exaggerating like a little bit. I'm over-exaggerating like a little bit.
Like a little bit or a lot of
no,
it?
No, like a little bit. Okay. But like, where are you from?
Maryland.
See, that's the thing. The thing about the Maryland accent is like weirdly Southern for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Well, technically, Maryland is below the Mason-Dixon line, so okay. We are the South on textbook, but if
so
you
So, did you hear you say? You said technically it's below the Mason-Dixon line? You said line.
I said line.
Line. You see what I was talking about?
I know,
Southern.
But you know what? Okay, fine.
But, honestly, we've completely derailed. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so my manager, she is so big on star signs. And she was like, you're in Aries, and I'm like, but I'm not stubborn. Like, I don't like to fight. Like, I don't like arguing. I'm such a like, oh, you think I did something wrong? I'm so sorry. Like, let's fine. Let's move on. And she's like, your stubbornness doesn't manifest socially. It's more...
within your work.
Yeah, it's more like perfect. Like, if I have decided I want to do something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I can see that.
So that's... Yeah, I'm relentless.
Relentless is a great word. And do you have, like, a word for the year? You know how, like, New Year people pick, like... new mantras for themselves.
This is so Aries of me.
Don't but say like, relentless again.
No. It's like, I don't really believe in like New Year's resolutions.
Oh my God.
And let me explain why. I don't believe in for myself, right? Because for other people, it's like, if it's stupid and it works, it ain't stupid. That's what I always say.
True.
So the reason why I don't, because like, I don't like waiting to improve. Like, I hate the idea of, like, oh, you know, it's starting this day, I'll improve. So it's like, I set goals all the time. It's like, oh, what are your New Year's resolutions? I have new week resolutions. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just set goals all the time.
I like that. Yeah.
And so I don't really have a word for the year because, like, I don't know, what I did last year worked pretty well.
He said, I'm just basking in my glory. Thank you, God. Keep it coming.
Thank you, hey. Thank you, G. You know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate it for real. So, I don't know. But if I had to find a word for the year, I guess it would be patience. I think that really is the main thing that I have been working on, is just patience with the universe, patience with myself. I think a double-edged sword of the relentlessness is that, like, I don't offer myself a lot of grace kind of at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm such a, like, I said I'd do this, I didn't do it, and I didn't do it as well as I expected to do it. Oh, I'm trash. You know what I'm saying? So patience is probably the word for the year.
I think patience is a great word, especially as a creative, because it takes time for things to develop and manifest and just to create, you know.
Something someone said to me once is it can take 10 years for an overnight success. And I was like, yo, for real.
Yeah.
Because every single time you hear of, like, oh, they came from nowhere.
Like, actually.
And then you look back and it's like, nah, they've been doing it for a while. They didn't come from nowhere.
Yeah. Trust me, I get it. Whew. All right, so thank you, Ollie, for joining me.
Thanks for having me. This is dope. Yes. I'm coming back. You're stuck with me.
Please do, because we got to talk about the album when it drops.
We do.
And announce the name here, of course. Okay, cool. We should go on.
Do you only shoot in New York? You should do a show in L.A.
For you, maybe.
Okay.
For you, maybe.
I might see that I'm special.
You know, only for you, though. But, okay, shout out to Graham. Let everybody know where they can follow.
You can follow me at Ollie Show on Instagram, Ollie Show on TikTok, African Godling on Twitter/X.
What?
What?
Aren't you supposed to have it the same on all platforms? Where the fuck did that come from?
So what had happened was, in college, I was like, oh, you know, like, why are demigods always, because I was a huge, like, nerd as a kid. So, like, demigods are always, like, Greek or Roman. But, like, we, you know, in Africa, we have deities, too. So we don't have, you know. And I was like, godling. I like godling as, like, a.
So that's your.
Yeah, so African godling.
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty dope.
Right, that's pretty dope.
I want one of those names, too.
Someday I'm going to change it. Like, probably one day I'm going to change it. But for now, it's African Godling.
I like
but
that.
Ollie Show on everywhere else. So, yeah. You know, kind of like how Rihanna has Bad Gal Riri.
Yeah.
You know. Do you remember? Oh, my God. Do you remember this TikTok video? It just came into my brain where it's this pastor. And put the blood on my face like it's makeup. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, my God. I'm about to change your life. He's in church.
Send it to me.
Literally. You don't have to later. Later. Yeah. Right. But he's in church. And he's like. Oh my God, it's the most incredible thing. Hunda de blood.
In church?
He's in church. It's incredible. I think he's in Jamaica.
Never seen it.
It's incredible. I'll send it to you.
All right. Until next time, guys. Ollie, thank you for coming. Talk soon.
Peace.